by the end of Saturday, it was, we need to take out the young dude. We need to take out the lefties.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time hitting 5-foot putts.
Did I see that you hit a ball so hard you broke a driver head?
That is correct. It may be the only ball I squared up all day.
So, what's your handicap?
Well, we don't have to talk about that right now.
I was a member at a private course like the last 2 years, but I've never been as like into golf. Was that a humble brag, guy?
That was such a humble brag. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Lefties Lounge podcast. I'm your host, Ron Newkirk. With me, as always, is John Krafick. And before we get into anything, I'd like you to join us in a moment of silence. Please remove your caps. The Puerto Rico curse is officially dead. Tony Finau wins. What a big day. We missed you guys. It's been a long couple weeks. We missed last week, but John, glad to be back. What's going on, man?
Dude, crazy. 2 weeks and Tony Finau wins.
It's a Monday
and we got
finish.
I mean, on a Monday, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
But yeah, it's good to be back. Took a couple weeks. Survived a little bear incident. I could tell that
story. What the hell you been up to, man? I mean, I've gotten rained out. I got a funny story about my follow-up 76 round that we'll get into, but what the hell you been up to?
Yeah, dude, traveling a little bit, you know, getting the last couple of weeks of, I mean, it's not the end of summer, but it's starting to feel like the end of summer a little bit. I don't even know. Do kids go back to school? Obviously I'm not on this. Kids go back to school soon, right?
My son is starting kindergarten tomorrow. We're recording this on a Tuesday night.
Oh,
per usual. And my oldest son, Thomas, is going to go on a bus and go into the world tomorrow. And he's going to kindergarten. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that starts tomorrow.
Is that like nerve wracking?
It's super nerve wracking. I kind of played it off as, you know, just like he's just going to school. But then I started to think about it and it's like, man, I mean, is he ready to go in the world? He barely knows how to wipe his own ass. Like it's a very weird thing as a parent to now let my son on a bus with other delinquent kids and anybody else that's out there, just in the world
on his own.
Yeah, right. He's going to grab his backpack and he's going to scoot over to the neighbor's house with his girl, Sophia. And they're just going to go to school, which is wild. it's just a wild happening.
Actually.
So yeah, kids are going back to school. It's summer is it's over almost, man.
I know. So getting in the last couple trips. So was up at the New Hampshire Lake House and then, just was at a camping trip in Vermont. And dude, yeah. So we were in Killington, Vermont. It's the second annual, Julia's family. My wife's family she's one of seven. So we always do a camping trip with the siblings and the significant others. I should say always, this is the second annual. Last year we did it in New Hampshire. This year was Vermont. I actually picked the site.
Wow.
I picked the campsite. It is also the campsite that hosted RGA's bachelor party.
Oh, no way.
Which is hilarious. Yeah. Okay. So it's the same, like, I'm not kidding, the same exact campsite that we were at Luke's bachelor party for,
which was
cool to, like, it was weird to go back and see it now, like, whatever, 3-4 years later.
Yeah. And a completely different trip, I would imagine, than a bachelor
party. Yes. Very, very, very different trip. But no, dude, trip was going really well. And then it's actually a funny story. So we have like a pretty full day Saturday, you know, mountain activities. And we're camping mountain, you know, and we're around the fire starting to cook. It's like 6 o'clock. Chris has legit worked probably on the grill for like an hour and a half cooking onions and meat and chicken and all this shit. I don't even know what he was getting into, but that dude cooks.
He
was at it for like an hour and a half. I had just put some burgers on. We had like a bunch of food going and everyone's kind of like sitting around the fire hanging around, and all of a sudden I hear what's on the table? And there is just a giant bear on the table. Not giant. He was probably like
adolescent bear.
He was like 3 to 4.
Yeah.
Luke said he thinks he was, but it's still like a couple hundred pounds. Probably
teenage
like,
bear.
Yeah. He wasn't a big bear, but it was just a bear. It was like, holy shit, bear.
Still would have messed you up.
Dude. Yeah. So we see it obviously. And it's so funny. Like nowadays, like the first thing in my head, the first thing I say, the first words that come out of my mouth, and me and Chris are like walking towards the table. The bear is on the table. We're probably like not even 10 yards away. Jesus. And the first words that come out of my mouth are, somebody get a phone. Somebody get a phone. Somebody get a phone. And it was like, so I, funny enough, like, you know, Luke's a big hunter and I've, you know, heard a pretty good amount of actually like bear experiences. So I wasn't really like too nervous in the sense of like, I kind of expected how it was going to act, but it didn't act how we were expecting it to act. Homie was there for the grub and he got there, dude, at the most perfect time. I'm not kidding. The food was like, everything was right there. So
perfect medium rare on the steaks.
Oh,
perfect.
Dude, I feel so bad for Chris. And then even better, Julia's, one of her sisters is moving to Colorado. Shout out M. And this was, they did a little going away thing. Yeah. And they got her a cake, like, oh, good luck. She's leaving at the end of the month. And the dude ate the whole cake.
Damn.
We didn't open the cake, but it was, it was so funny.
Jesus.
Yeah, dude. But he got pretty territorial. Like he saw the food and we were in his way. He charged us a couple times. He like got up and I hung around. I was really enjoying it.
Of course.
And you know, the first rule of combat is obviously
don't stand down.
Never
back down.
No, never lose sight of your enemy. So I didn't want to let him at, everyone's like, walk away, get away, get in the cars. I'm like, no, you have to know. We have to know where he is at all times. It was great. So he just kept making rounds back, dude. He would go into the woods like 20 yards away, eat his food, come back to the table, grab something, go back. But it was sick, dude. He climbed a tree and grabbed meat off the top of a burning grill. Like it was it was just cool to like watch him.
Were you nervous that like other bears were around?
No, not really. It was like he was like acting, that.
It didn't seem like it was like a mama bear, obviously, right? Because mama bears are big. But that looked like that bear might have had some siblings and a mama. I would have been a little nervous for that.
It's funny. I think we were like, I was so into it. I wasn't really thinking like that because he was so, I don't know. It is true. I guess I was just kind of like so fixated on him.
Yeah.
But we'd heard the night before there was rumblings like a bear went through a camp and it was cubs. So we knew the area. We knew it was like there's a bunch of bears in Killington. Yeah, dude, it was sick.
That's wild.
It was so cool.
That's so crazy.
But yeah, dude, like, yo, they shot two flares right over his head. Homie did not move, not move. And I felt so bad. The park ranger, it was like a 19-year-old girl and she's just shaking walking down with the flare gun in her hand. And I'm relax. And she's like,
give me that thing.
Yeah, she's shooting it like way over his head, but it was pretty funny. Yeah, but the way we ended up getting it out, dude, it got dark. Like it was probably an hour, 15 minutes, I think. I don't know. Time was standing still, but
yeah.
Pulled the car up, threw the high beams on and just laid on the horn. And he finally like got spooked and ran.
Damn.
But yeah, I mean, needless to say, too many girls there. We were not sleeping there, so we ended up getting a hotel.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was pretty funny. Wild, it was wild. Man. There was a point where the park ranger calls fishing game and like, you know, is asking the game wardens to come down. She gets off the phone and she's like, yeah, they're not coming. And I was like, oh, nobody's coming. Like, this is great. This is just us. Like nobody's coming for us.
Oh my God.
You guys can't pull me away from this bear now.
I can't let him out of my sight. That's crazy.
You can't let the enemy out of your sight.
Wow. So let me get this straight though. This trip was the last trip that you took of this. You made the putting greens out of dirt, right?
Yes. Okay. Exactly.
This is the same one. Okay. So did you do that
again? Yeah. We did not know it. We forgot the one key ingredients. We did have a putter. Cause if, I don't know if you, I think I sent you the video of the bear.
Oh, yes.
Chris has a putter in his hand.
The putter. Yeah.
It's like, why does that dude have a putter on a camping trip?
I knew why. It was normal to me. But,
dude, we forgot to pack the ground screw. The number one tool you need to create a putting, like green at a campsite is, it's just like you don't have to have like a full broom, but even just like a hand broom, like a little, like pail and broom set, you know what I'm talking about? The handheld ones will even do it, but cause you need to kind of like find the dirt. There's too much rocks and shit. You couldn't get the ball to like roll straight. So, we wanted to, the effort was there kind of, but,
The grooming tools weren't there.
The grooming tools weren't there. Yeah. Man. But good time. That's awesome. Yeah, dude. Fucking CMG is here.
Dude, yeah, let's get into some golf. Did you get to play any golf?
So I did. I played played a week ago now, I want to say.
Okay. Yeah, because obviously we missed last week. It was just you were on vacation kind of thing. I was not gonna do this thing by myself. We might do that a couple times just because, you know, we don't want to just put out podcasts to put out podcasts. We want them to be legit and we want to be here for them. So that's why we didn't do it. It just didn't make sense. But yeah, so last week you played.
Yeah, I believe it was Wednesday. I played with Nate actually, which, dude, shout out Nate, breaking 100 consistently now.
Really?
Yeah, dude. He's had a couple 97s. I think he just put up a 94 this weekend.
Damn. Let's go.
Yeah, he actually played really well. We played Brookline Golf Course. It's a Muni.
Okay,
heard that. Close by the city. Yeah, I want to say it's conjoined. I think Nate was actually telling me it's conjoined with the golf club of Brookline, the country club, which is where the U.S. Open is next year.
Nice.
So it's like right on that property, nowhere near, like it's the Muni to the Queen, you know?
Yeah.
It's a dog, but nice greens, crazy greens actually.
It's awesome.
Yeah, dude, hitting the ball the best I've ever hit it in my life and just not scoring.
That's sick. That's perfect. That's exactly what we want.
It's funny, like, dude, legit, I've
save them.
It's, you know, yeah, you know how like you just kind of feel like, I feel like I'm right there, and I'm at this point I'm almost happy that I wasn't scoring. Like another, like I think I shot 82. Might have been 84. I don't even know. I will not forget this though, but I had 4 3 putt bogeys again.
Jeez.
Green in regulation, 3 putt bogey. Four of them.
That's not what we like.
And no. Working on a little bit different of a putting stroke that Pete kind of instilled in me a little bit, the last lesson. We're starting to find some things, just distance control. And then driver just sucks. I think I lost like 4 balls, all of them with the driver. That'll just kill every round. But
sick.
56 through 3 wood is feeling delicious.
That's so good, man. That's good.
Hit a bunch of really good wedges, like approach wedges, like not 70 to like a doing the Seekman. So that was encouraging. So no, not those wedges.
Oh,
I actually was doing the Seekman though. I just didn't have that many. I hit a bunch of green. I hit the ball so well. I didn't have a bunch of like those type chip opportunities.
Okay.
So I'm a little, that's something that I'm going to work on, but,
that's awesome. Man. Yeah. Feels
good.
That's good. Cause we have, 3 days and you're going to be coming down and we're going to start our journey, our, title defense. So they say, So I got a funny story. I haven't been able to play since I shot that 76. I started to play the weekend after, because if some of you remember, I said that there's not a chance that I'm not playing that weekend. So some things happened. There was a monster truck show on Sunday that I neglected. Forgot about kind of thing that apparently I had to go to. So it was a quick shift. And I played on Saturday, the following Saturday. So last Saturday I go out and I'm ready. I'm more ready than anything. I'm coming off a 76. I'm feeling good, keeping a great mindset. And for those of you that don't know, you can go back and listen to that round and see how I did. But if you remember, I didn't have a single double bogey in that round, which was amazing.
That's right. One ball, no double bogeys.
So long story short, it started to rain around the sixth hole. And it was we played six holes and Mother Nature gave me an out.
And she gave you a break?
She gave me a break because in those six holes, I had three double bogeys and two bogeys. I was eight over through six holes. Coming up after this, I went out there and I hit on the first hole. I hit one of the most beautiful drives, middle of the fairway, clipped a wedge to about, I don't know, 15 feet, two putt for an easy par. And I was like, let's go. And then I just proceeded to go triple bogey, triple, triple bogey. So like we've talked about this in the past, I have worked on like my mental game and showing emotion on the course. And like, I'm doing like a way better job at like keeping my cool and doing all this stuff. I have never wanted to smash my clubs or just wreck the course. I was furious, John. Like it was a different type of rage that was in me. And I think the golf gods and Mother Nature, they all saw that and they said, you know what, this kid, he learned his lesson. I'm gonna rain. And it did. It rained pretty damn hard. And everybody else stayed around. It was about 45 minute wait, and then they got back out there and I just said, I'm taking a rain check and I'm out. And I was gone. Yeah, I went to Scott and I was like, dude, I got something going on, and if I wait this hour, I'm not going to be able to finish anyway. So if I could just take the thing, I just, you know, made up some bullshit really. And yeah, I got a free round coming up because I already paid for it. But yeah, just crazy how different it was out there. But I just learned from it that
this all to me sounds, it almost sounds a little biblical. It almost sounds like you let the demon out, the demon is out, and now you're pure. You're like you yeah. you like almost a, you knew it was like an awakening, and you knew you subconsciously knew you were not allowed on that golf course. You were not allowed back on that golf course. What happened on that golf course was as dead as the Puerto Rico Open curse. Yeah. It, like you were, there was no coming back. You can't come back from starting eight over through six holes, jumping off of 76, especially like losing your mentals. Like,
and
that.
that's the thing. Like I had lost it mentally, and it's not like I was playing like poorly. Like a couple of the triples were literally a couple three putts that were bad.
Right.
I wasn't doing like one specific thing horrible. It was just like a snowball. And like, I believe that it was completely mental. And it was just one of those things where I'm just really happy that I was able to get out alive.
Oh yeah. I heard this the other day. I heard somebody say, like, it's funny how in golf, like good golf and bad golf is always like just right around the corner. It's like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like a good round and can be, that's just the way like golf is like, you could go out and shoot the best round and like a bad round could be coming up right behind it you have no
and
way
vice
of getting
versa.
Out of,
you yeah, could be, you could be versa, playing exactly. real bad. And then
right.
you go out and shoot a freaking
right.
you know,
right.
You break 80 or you break 90 for the first time, whatever it is. It's always right there. And I think that is what, like when you talk to other golfers and you meet like legit people that are into the game of golf, like that right. is why you do it. It's like, yes. because it's always changing. It's always, it's just,
it's impossible to give up on because that good could be right around the corner.
It could. You know what I mean? You like could always get that first hole in one, or you could right. always, you know, make an eagle or do, like, there's always something special that could happen. And also on the other side, there's also, you could have some of the worst things happen to you.
You can look the demon in the eye.
Exactly. And that's funny. I did that. And unfortunately on Sunday, Henry came along on Ray, for some that came along and ruined my plans for that too. So I haven't been able to get out on the course. It feels like forever, but I did go to the range and I did head up Candlewood practice facility today.
Ooh.
Which was really, really nice. It was hot as hell. But I hit the ball pretty decent. And I went in there and a funny thing, dude, I grabbed my clubs because I had like 20 minutes to get on the green at Candlewood. So I grabbed what I thought was my 58, my gap wedge, and then my putter. And I was just playing little games. I would chip up, go try and putt everything in. Got back to the truck. It was fun. It was great to do it. Everything was really tall. They hadn't cut yet because it's been so rainy. So if they keep the rough like
US Open conditions,
it'll literally be like the US Open because it was 2C thicks. It was thicky thick. But I get back to the truck and I put my club in the bag and I grab my 54. So I was chipping around pitching, whatever you want to say. I was doing that with my 54
and without realizing it?
Without knowing.
Whoa.
And boy, did it feel good. Wow. So like that might have opened up a little something, dude.
Going, is that a go-to? Is that going to be a...
No, it's definitely not. I'm going to 58 always.
I know. It's impossible not to go
But honestly, game. Like even like my 54 might become like the new gap wedge because the gap is like the more of like spinner, but like it could be the 54. Like I could just add that in there. Hands and that team. 54 kind of have like a love-hate relationship anyway, so...
Like that.
But yeah, it was wild. So I got to get out there, which was nice. Feeling good. I just had to go. I told my wife in the morning, I was like, I have to go hit balls. It's been too long. I need to go see a ball fly in the air and land next to something, even if I'm not aiming at it. Like it just has to happen.
Right.
The prep for CMG is alive. We just got the email for CMG. Yeah. We just got flights. We got messages coming in from shout out Carl Knippel. He is in our flight. So he was fired up. You want to get into a little bit of this? Like, what do you think of our flight, dude?
Yeah, dude. I actually just pulled it up.
So
flight two. So we were flight three last year. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what our total handicap number was last year?
I don't remember. I was like a 13 and you were like,
I was 11. Like an 11, 7, 11. Yeah.
I think you were an 11. So what, 24, 25?
Yeah. So I think were we at the end? Were we at the bottom of the third?
No, we were the top seed.
Okay. So we're the top seed of the third flight last year. This year we are the number two seed in the second flight.
Yeah.
Which, dude, crazy enough, we were 0.8 points away from being in the flight one.
I know.
0.8 points of a worth of a handicap away, which is, I mean,
yeah, those it almost three works guys out
that
kind of sucks for Klinger and Rob
Gallo. Oh. Very in much flight so.
One. Between them, Hofers, and us, they're at 18.1 and we're at 18.7 collectively.
Yep.
And
yeah.
That's so tight. Like, what would you have done really well. Yeah.
Like that falling like that is, yeah.
Imagine if we were flight one.
Listen, it would have made the title defense a little harder. Not saying that our flight is no joke. We got some sticks, dude.
Yeah,
for real. The younger Pody, Kyle Pody's a 5'4".
Yeah.
What do we got? We got this kid.
Carl's
obviously a 5'2". Yeah.
Did you know
and
that?
Then, oh, Courtney's a 6'. No, I did know that. Yo, no, I know Carl. Yeah, Carl's a really good golfer.
Damn, I had no idea he was
Yeah,
that
dude,
good.
He's got, yeah, you'll enjoy playing with him.
Yeah, I don't know if I will.
He hits it well.
Not in a competition.
I know, right?
But then John McDermott.
Courtney.
McDermott.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, McDermott. Oh, and then Courtney's a 6'1".
Yeah. Yeah, so there's some good good guys up there. What are your overall feelings about the whole thing? I mean, really, if you think about it, 18.3 at the top and 24.3 at the bottom. So that's what? That's 4, 5, 6 strokes between the top and the bottom. So really, at the adjusted handicap, they're going to cut that in half. So, I mean, the most the first guys are going to give to the last guys is 3 strokes per 9. Is that
something like that?
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's based on I believe it's based off like when you're playing the twosomes, it's off the highest number. So yeah. Whoever the highest handicap is going to, it'll go at the baseline will be, sorry, the baseline will be the lowest cap. So right. That lowest cap will obviously get nothing, and then that'll be. So it depends, I think, who you're playing, because there are some lower caps than ours.
Yeah.
So like you might get a couple strokes.
I'm just more. Saying it's not going to be that much.
These flights will be.
It's
so
going to be like one or
and the
two.
The 9-hole flights, yeah.
One or two a 9, which is not a lot, really. I look at it as almost we're playing everybody straight up is what I'm going to.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
In my mind.
Yeah, that's definitely the way to look at it.
For sure. What else we got though? I mean, freaking UCL Hambone.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that's this. When I looked at this email to start, that was like the storyline was how juiced Flight 3 was with the lounge listeners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we got what? Shaw, Brett, Hammy, Norms, bro.
Yeah. Gary Scribner. He listens. And then, he listens.
Oh, Montero.
Yep.
That's such a good flight, dude.
That's a really good flight. Yeah. And that's old Rocky's gonna be there. My uncle, Brett's dad. That's fun.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Old Tear Bear.
Oh yeah, dude. What is Brett thinking?
Why?
Brett's handicap stays the same all year. It fluctuates between like a 9-1 and like a 9-3, 9-4, 9-5.
Then he goes out and shoots 278s, dude.
Yeah, all of a sudden I look down, he's 8-5. I was like, wait, what? He does this right in time?
Literally, I think 2 of his last 3 rounds are 78s.
Yeah, no, I know. It looks like he's playing really well.
Yep. So that's going to be a good flight. Mark isn't in the basement either, I believe. Oh, no. Mark is, yeah, he is. I thought Dave moved up. That was what Dave moved up to flight 4. Mark's still in flight 5. But even that, man, everything is just, it looks so tight. I'm jacked up about it. You want to tell everybody the format or what do you want to talk about for CMG? Like preparation? I mean, I'm so excited for this. Like, I'm thinking about bringing that.
We should do.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, this is a disclaimer, but or maybe an apology in advance. I'm streaming this right now off my Wi-Fi, literally off my phone, because my Wi-Fi at my apartment's not working. Yeah, so if the audio cuts out a little bit here and there,
I don't think it has.
Okay. I do apologize. It might just be on my end. It was getting a little cranky, but yeah, dude. So where do we start? I don't know. Like what's,
there's
I think
so
it's
many
just,
things.
Yeah. So the format, I think like the format's simple, right? It's match play, 9 hole match plays, the flight. Everybody knows this is like a standard member guest format. We've been doing this for what's this? What year is this? Oh yeah. That's actually what I meant to say. So
I think this is the fifth year.
I was thinking about this the other night. So what's Tiger's all time winning percentage? It's like 22%, I think.
Ooh, something like that. Yeah. Something ridiculous.
Maybe it's over 25%. No,
I think it's just under. I think it's like 24 or something like that, but very high.
Yeah, I think right. Because right now we have a 25% win percentage. So if we're 1-for-4. So if we win again and go 2-for-5, that puts us at 40%. That's all time.
Well, we'll tie Jason Ezra and Chris Olave.
Oh, right.
Because they have 2. No. There's only one person. Or 2-1 team.
Oh, that's right. Because it's been, that's right. I forgot they doubled up.
The stage is being set is we won in flight 3. We would like to double up in flight 2. And then we'd like to move to flight 1 and beat Ezra and Chris. 3-peat and take the, and be the, they're going to name the member guest after us. That's what I would like.
The Lefties Lounge guest.
It's going to be the Lefties Lounge guest. Yes. It would be wild. Yeah. So what do you, I mean, match play. I listened to this very interesting, after Kisner won last week, I listened to a podcaster who's on, and he said, because he's very good at match play, and he said that the key to match play is putting. And that was very, I didn't really think about it like that, but he said that if you are able to make 7 or 8 footer after 7 or 8 footer for par or for, you know, knocking a birdie or something like that, it is just detrimental to the team that you're playing. Like so, if you are so just if you're just a nagging little guy that just can't miss with the putter, like it's just it's horrible. Like you just don't go away. It's like that fly that just doesn't go away, and that is exactly what I want to be this weekend. Is just, listen, I know I'm not the best player in this flight, but I just want to be that fly that just you can't swat away. Like it's just not going away, and just sink putt after putt after putt. And like I'm after this podcast, I'm going to go and putt a little bit. And then I was doing it today, and I just want that is like my main goal for this CMG. I don't know how you're feeling.
I love that. It's funny you say that too, because the first, when I think of like CMG, when I think of kind of like tournament golf in itself, like I don't think I really played much, because this was before I started playing at Thompson. So I don't think I played really much like tournament golf. This was like one of the first, I think, for the both of us, because I remember it was like so like crazy
competitive wise, like not just scramble, like, and not like,
yeah. Right. Like a true like 2-day match play, like. Yeah.
Grind.
It's a different type of game, and it took us, you know, a couple goes around to kind of like really figure out, you know,
to kind of learn just you the know? Style. Yeah, and
to
I
kind of how to play it. Yeah,
it would be super validating to win the flight for sure this year.
Right. Oh,
because
right.
like I feel like, you know, we were so close the first 3 years in flight two. Like we were right there. We won second day money 1 year. We were in second place 1 year. Like it was just, we had that one bad year where we just weren't doing well. But we're so close, and then we go to flight three and, you know, dust everybody, which was awesome. Except for Gary Scribner, if you're listening, shout out to you, because you did beat us.
Sorry to cut you off.
No, go.
That's like when I think of the first legit, dude, I don't know if you remember this. I will never forget this. Who did we play the first time? The first member guest. Who was our first match? Do you remember this?
Donnie Baker.
Donnie Baker. And his brother, Rich. It's Rich,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That is something that sticks out in my head, was I could not get over how good of a putter he was and how much it was in my mind, like how nails he was from 10 plus feet. Like it, yes. To this day, every time we play the CMG, I think about that dude in that front and like those 9 holes. And I don't know if you remember, like, I believe that was the only 9 that they like, no, they played really well that day. Cause he played well that day.
Yeah.
Cause I was going to say,
they didn't win.
No,
they didn't win. They beat us.
I think they beat us. Yeah, they beat us,
but they didn't win the rest of the day.
Exactly. That's what it was, right? Okay. I thought I was remembering it correctly.
Exactly. To the putting point is just like, dude, if you can do that, you've been thinking about it for 5 years.
For 5 years, dude. And I remember specifically, like, it was kind of like demoralizing.
Yeah.
Like, cause I was like, no way. Like, I just played this hole perfectly, and this dude is all over in the shit. Then he punches up, chips up, and makes a 12 footer to save par. And it's like, Are you kidding me?
There's something to say about that.
Which I love.
There's no way that your opponent doesn't notice that. And it's like, I obviously don't want to have 10, 12 footers for par, but if I do, I want to drain them. Obviously.
Right.
I also was thinking about it today, and like, we just need to give ourselves birdie looks. Like we just need to have a pot for birdie. Whether it's you or me, like at least one of us needs to have a putt for birdie, because that should give us a tap in par. Like that's where we're at. And that's what we need. I think in flight two, that's what we need to do to win. Is to have that mentality.
I've been internally going over this decision, but I think what I'm going to do is, and I would actually love to hear your input too, but I think I'm putting the driver away for the morning round. There's a couple holes that I'm like definitely going to hit it on just because it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Or it like my miss right now is right. But I did find some things last week out, as much as I did lose like four balls off the tee. There was we were working the flight a little bit. So
taking the positives.
Taking the positives. But it's just it makes zero sense. Like I've been so good with the 5-wood off the tee. Like it's not even a question. And then
I think
3-wood,
you know,
I can get some length, but
you know my views on this. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago and you know my views. So I guess my question to you would be, what would change? Why would you only get rid of it for the morning?
Like you playing well.
Okay.
You playing well because
my driver's on.
Right. I think
frees you up.
There's spots that like you could like there's definitely spots on that course that you can be aggressive. And for me, especially with driver, because I do hit it high.
Yeah.
So what I would pretty much do is like if you were hot, I would take it on a safer looking hole and try to find something and just like
I like that answer.
We'll see. I think I'm really gonna like dial it back. I'll hit it in the morning. You know, like I'll hit it Friday, and then I'll hit driver Friday. I'll hit driver a couple times, like in the morning, warming up and everything.
Why are you playing a practice round without me?
No. Oh, but okay. I'll probably hit a small bucket of balls. No, that was something we learned very early on.
Yeah,
is not don't blow your load early. I think the first year too, I played so good on that Friday. I think I should for like that point in my career, I think I shot like 82 or 83. It's still really good now, but I was like, I've never felt better and that felt lost completely with the swing that weekend. But,
it was tough. I remember
we're on to some.
I like that. I like that attack. I like that attack for sure. We just need to get, I know there's some super confident people in flight three. It's going to be a shootout when we get to the BDS. The cool thing is too, they have a senior flight now too.
Yeah. So what's the deal? Are they going to be in the big dog shootout?
I would imagine they are going to be, but I don't know how their handicap.
You want to run through the big dog shootout right now?
Yeah, so there's six flights, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, five. So six flights. So we start. What did we start on?
Oh, dude, that's new this year. Six. So there's an extra hole. This is the first year ever of a 5-hole BDS.
Oh yeah, which is crazy.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought last year we had six flights, and the first two teams got off on that first hole. Is that correct?
So you know. I thought the same thing, but then I swear.
No, there was only five flights. There was only five flights.
Right. No, that's what it was.
The fifth flight was stacked with all the boys.
Yes, yes.
Annie, Mark.
No, it was definitely five. It was definitely five because I verbatim counted the numbers. I was like, that looks like five holes. One, start. Four,
yeah. So we're going to start on, Jesus.
14.
14, which is a tough hole. And then 15 is a tough hole. It's a tough little big dog shootout. Honestly,
it's a good stretch. I mean,
it eats
everybody.
So what happens is the six teams will all tee off. So there'll be 12 guys on the tee box and they'll all tee off. And these are all the flight winners. So all the flight winners go to the 14th tee box and they hit their drives and they just play the hole. And the team that scores the highest on the hole gets eliminated. If there is a tie, it will go straight to a chip off or a pitch off, whichever you want to call it. I call it a chip off. And then one team gets eliminated. You go to the next hole, team gets eliminated. And until you get to the 18th hole, where there'll be two teams and you'll get a winner. Hopefully it'll be a chip off in the last two, they let them play the whole hole again. Right.
Right. You replay the hole.
Yeah. Cause remember that, that McDermott and Ezra.
Yes. One,
that was, that will go down as an all time playoff. every time, I think they played it like two or three times.
Yeah.
And every time McDermott got a Bud Light every time.
Yes. 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 And yes.
Then Ezra like chipped out for to leave himself like a freaking 2 foot birdie putt or some shit like that.
Yeah,
like
he got up and down from the bunker.
One of the prettiest bunker shots I've ever seen in my life. Just crazy. But yeah. So if you make it to the final hole, the two teams, you just keep playing it over and over again until you have a winner. And hopefully it'll be us. We're gonna see. But yeah, that's the CMG in a nutshell. You got anything else you say on that, or?
I don't know. I think we're just both really excited to play competitive golf, which is exciting. Yes.
A little nervous that I haven't played in a long time, but I'm more nervous about. I don't even know if I'm nervous. I just wish I had played more because I love golf, I guess.
Right. Okay, I'll ask you this. Does it like? No, I mean, I know the answer to this, but.
Well, you can still ask.
Is there any pressure going into it, knowing that we won last year?
No, not no. one. Like, pressure.
That's what I was saying. I don't even know what I was going to even ask.
I know that. I'm not feeling any pressure at all. No, like no. I don't feel any pressure. All I want to do is give a real college try to the putting contest,
that's the first thing I was going to mention too.
Yeah.
We really need a good putting showing.
Yeah. I'd like to see a good putting showing in the contest. And I'd also just like to be competitive. Like I just want to, I obviously don't want to get blown out. I always want to have like a good competitive round, with the people that we're playing. And obviously just come out on top. But yeah, I don't know. There's
just got to make it to Sunday with a chance.
Exactly. Give ourselves a chance on Sunday. That's the biggest thing. And yeah, that's really it. Cause with our flight and honestly, really all the flights in the 4 years that we've played, there hasn't been like too many blowouts. Like if you think about it, like there hasn't been, I think there was like maybe one or two flights in one or two years that was like an act, like it was over by Saturday. And that was,
yeah,
it was rare. Like you don't see that. I just think that everybody's so compact. Like in flight four, there's a 2-stroke difference between the top and the bottom, which is nothing. So really all those guys are playing straight up. And it's the same thing in flight one. Like there's just not a huge gap. There's not like a freaking 10 or 12 stroke gap from the top to the bottom. So I really think it's going to be tight and we just got to do our best.
Yo, weather looks good too.
Yo, mid 70s.
Crazy, actually. Mid Thursday, it's going to be 92 and then 72, 75 and 73 Saturday and Sunday.
Unreal, right?
Maybe a passing shower.
Nah.
No, dude, low winds.
I believe it when I see it. I mean, it's just ball striking weather is what it is.
That's so scoring
I'm
weather.
Super excited just to see everybody too. There's going to be a lot of people there that we haven't seen in a while. And it's just going to be fun, man. And if you're listening to this and you are new to the tournament, or even if you haven't come to Friday night, like the dinner and the putting contest, come. Like that is part of the CMG. Like that is... It's so much fun. Like we just sit there and we go through the putting course, which is sick. It's $10 to get in there. We usually drop around $100 to $200.
Whoa. We're gonna cut that.
I'm just kidding. We don't do that much.
Females that listen to this show.
Yeah, it doesn't cost that much. I'm just kidding. And plus the return on it is just so big.
Pesos.
Yeah. Exactly. Nuggets. Yeah.
Yen.
But yeah, if you haven't done it, it's super fun, and hopefully the dinner is better than last year. And we're getting pullovers this year too.
I was about to say I'm just excited for the tea gift.
Spoiler alert, we're getting pullovers.
It's trash?
No.
Oh no, it's pullovers.
It's just that pullovers. Could
be, I know. I'm nervous though. I feel like it's pretty easy to fuck up a pullover.
Yeah, you're right.
Your pullover's gotta have some heat on it if I'm gonna wear a pullover.
It's true. We'll see. I don't want to get too excited for it, but it's going to be better than than a shirt that we've gotten for the past three years. So, yeah, and hopefully we're inside eating too, not like last year, like it was. Hopefully, whatever. Well, let's move on, dude. Let's get into a little golf here.
Real quick. If a group of players was to win this weekend, who is most comparable to Tony Finau finally like breaking through and winning? Would it be Hammy breaking through and winning this member guest? Is he Tony Finau?
him and his father, when it comes to member guests, him and his father are Tony Finau's. They win their flight easily, some would say. And then they get to the shootout and they just barely lose. It happened in Florida. It happened last year. He had a shot in the Ridgewood one. They've been so close. And if I had to pick anybody to win this weekend besides us, it would be that crew right there. I would be so freaking happy if those two won. Like
if
it would
finally
be,
broke through.
Oh my God.
How happy you were for Tone, Big Tone.
Yeah. I mean, it would be pretty damn close. I might even say that I would be even happier because it's just been I'm not best friends with Tony Finau, but I am with Hammy. So there's a little emotional connection, I think, towards that. But if they won, it would be the Tony Finau win, hands down. You saw it coming, but it just took a while. That's all. That's a great segue. Tony Finau, dude, had the moment of silence in the beginning. The Puerto Rico Open curse is officially done. Victor Hovland kind of quieted it, but now Tony Finau said it's over.
He put it to bed. He filled the 6 feet of dirt in.
He did. It was a wild win. I didn't get to watch most of it. I listened a lot on Sirius at work. So I saw, I heard about Spieth and like all these guys that are playing Cam Smith. There's a lot going on, but, got to watch on Monday night, which was awesome. And I guess kind of like an anticlimactic, finish,
least for a playoff hole, right?
Expecting that whole thing to happen.
Yeah, it was crazy how much. Yeah, so I watched none of it. Obviously, I was studying Bears, Vermont.
Yeah.
So obviously, the delicacy of the Monday night golf was French. Was chef's kiss. That was so sick, dude.
I feel like they did it on purpose.
I know, right?
Like, so it was so nice.
I think I turned it on probably with like, had to be late. It was like probably 5 o'clock. And it looked like I watched Rahm for like two holes and it was like, oh, Rahm's going to win this thing. I think he was up two at that point. Oh, that's what it was. He was up two
on everybody for a little while.
I turned it on and Tony hit this ridiculous shot into, I believe it was 13. He was 217 yards away. It was the hole he made eagle on. So he went birdie, eagle, birdie. And he was 217 yards away and just sticks one to like 3 feet, taps it in. And I was like, oh shit. I knew Rahm had to come play that hole. He was a group or two behind, but the group behind. And it was like, wait, does Tony have a real shot? And I think that's when I texted you like, yo, Tony might have a legit chance at this. And then it was like, you know, Rahm
kind of shit his pants. Like he kind of did.
Yeah, he did. We were talking about it because you could tell he got a little frustrated. He got a little hot. That's what I was saying to you is like for as much as like he's grown and matured and his perspective has changed and obviously he's playing unbelievable golf this year, but like that just doesn't leave you like that quick. And it was just that like you noticed it. He snapped real quick, and I was telling you, I was like, if you looked at everyone, because that's what happened is he pretty much lost it. After that, on like two tee shots, I think he blew 16 and 18, maybe. but he was just quick. Like you could tell he was just swinging harder. Like the
right.
There was, he was something a little off. He was just steaming. Yeah.
Yep. And which was and wild could tell to see. He
couldn't shake it. It was weird to see.
Cause I had told you after he'd won the major there, I made a point of saying like how poised he was and like how well he was handling everything. And he had a couple blunders there, but came right back and did his thing. Just couldn't shake this one. Like was trying to play perfect golf and it wasn't going his way. And you could tell like big time.
Well, and he couldn't handle like the tough bounces. Like he had a couple tough bounces of where the ball landed in the bunker or where that tee shot on 18, I think took a left-hand turn.
Yeah. Which was right the complete opposite, I thought, of Tony Finau. Tony looked so just calm and collective and just kind of normal. Like he just looked like Tony. Like I've never really noticed, but he doesn't really show emotion and he doesn't really do a lot with, you don't know if he tripled or parred or birdied or whatever. Like,
right.
He kind of just goes about his business, but even more so this, he just looked calm. And it was cool to see. Like I had no doubt on 18, he had that 8 or 9 footer for par. And I probably was way more nervous than he was because I'm just sitting there and I'm just like, oh my God, he's going to miss this and he's going to come in second again. Like it's going to happen. Like this is Tony Finau golf. And then to see him do that. And I was texting you and just saying like, this is going to go to a playoff. So just cool to see like his demeanor and
yeah, dude, it was like, that's the thing is like, when you think about him being in that situation, right? If he doesn't win this, like it's 40 tournaments, 40 finishes in the top 10 since the last win. It's whatever, you know, we've seen it almost 2000 days. Like,
yeah,
it's been 5 years now.
43 starts, like whatever,
you know, just insane. And it's just crazy to think about like that. Like to your point is how kind of calm and cool he was. And that's the thing. When you texted it to me originally, I was like, dude, there's no way he is like shitting his pants right now, because just think of like, I just couldn't stop thinking of like the magnitude of like the situation in a sense of like, man, I'm here again. Like I'm, you know, I'm on 18 again with a chance to win it. What do I got to do? You know, what am I going to do type thing?
And even more so, like it's not just your average tournament. It's a FedEx Cup playoff tournament. You're getting freaking 2000 points for this, which we'll get into, I think is complete bullshit. Ryder Cup's right around the corner. You have 40 top 10. Like there's just so like, it was even more elevated than just a normal, just, you know, like the playoff at Riviera. Like that was, you know, it was just completely different. And for him to be like that, I'm not going to lie to you, it kind of changed my mind about him being on the Ryder Cup for sure. Just his demeanor. And like, he is that, I don't know if it changes that much, but I think he might be getting to the next level like of that top echelon, like player in the world.
Oh, like, just, so yeah.
And you know what I'm saying?
Just,
like,
it's just closing the door.
Like, it's just closing a door, and I think
it's not much. It's
also going to open a ton of more doors in tournament wins and stuff like that. I feel like he's just this is the floodgate, I think, for Tony Finau, and he's going to win a lot, because think about how many times he was close. If he puts himself in that situation again and can kind of go back to this and say, okay, well, I've done it. There's absolutely no pressure on me. I'm just going to keep winning. So. I don't know. Right. It's really cool to see, and just shout out to him, man. Like that was great to shoot a 65 on a day after you get freaking how many inches? 9 inches you saw?
9.5 inches, I think I saw. Of
rain. Which is shout out to the freaking course, the superintendents and all the people helping out too to get the course in legit. I mean, there was some standing water in some places, but whatever.
Right. But dude, God, that course showed. That course, Liberty, now that it shows so nasty, dude.
Yeah, it did. The skyline, like everything, it's so cool.
Yo, little crazy nugget on Finau winning.
Yeah.
Finau's been like openly a huge Kobe fan.
Yeah.
Especially obviously when he passed.
Yeah.
He was at the Waste Management.
Yeah, one of his quotes was, "I only own one NBA jersey," to give you an idea of how much Kobe meant to me. Dude, he ended up winning. He breaks the 5-year winless drought on what would have been Kobe's 43rd birthday, which is kind of cool.
No way.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's always weird. Like, world works in mysterious ways like that.
Really does. That's wild.
Isn't that cool?
That is cool, man.
So shout out Finau. I don't know
shout
about
out the, Finau. Shout
I don't know about I mean, the opening the floodgates, but I'm with you. I'm happy that
like I've said before, I've always been a Tony fan because at the Travelers he responded to me when I talked to him. So I told him he didn't rub in his sunscreen all the way. So I told him to do that. Me and Hammy did, and he was like, "Oh man," he didn't say "Oh man" or "Thanks," but he just kind of.
Right.
That he kind of gave us a point and then rubbed sunscreen in. So we got the point across.
Yeah. From all accounts, just a fucking good dude. Like,
yeah.
Just a seriously good dude. So it's cool to see like kind of the outpour of support for him too. I mean, that's the thing. He's been the same dude. Like, he's faced it. Like, the dude doesn't shy away from interviews or anything. Like, you know, he's been obviously publicly scrutinized for not closing the door and like to do it now. And it was,
and just, he handles himself so well though. Like,
you're right.
We talked about it at Riviera.
Very poised.
Yeah.
Very poised.
Yeah. He's up there.
He's a dude that you want to like, he's like the opposite of Bryson, really. Like, he's long, but he's like a dude that you want to root for and actually like a good dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's funny. But yeah,
so what about your boy Cam Smith though? We touched on Rahm a little bit, but what about Smith? Like, he had quite
the, yeah.
Like, he was in it and then he was out of it and then he was back in it. That double on 5 really, like, that was like an early, like, oh man, Cam's probably out, but then he comes back and birdies and goes back out in 36 and then goes on to shoot a 31 in the back to get right back in it. Like, just crazy.
Yeah.
To get to that point and then to go up there and fan that ball. Like, it was awkward to watch almost. Like, I felt so bad for him. And even the announcers were just like, Oh, that is way gone. Like, had no chance. Yeah, and then
he
almost did it again. He almost did it again on the second one. It was incredible.
Dude, it was funny because, like, watching him play 17, I think it was 17, and he made like a good birdie. And like, I just texted you, I was like, this is 100% going in. Like, he's going to top the lead. Like, he's a killer. And he does everything right. And then he makes that one swing, that tee shot on 18 in the playoff hole. It's just like, oh, that's such a tough scene. Like,
so bad.
God, that's got to be so hard to get over. But that's why those guys, like, that's something that would haunt that your everyday. Like, it would kill. Imagine that, dude. Like, I mean, I guess there's no fans. Like, it would have been the tournament to do it. It's a Monday finish. You could just blame, like, you're tired.
You're
I was just trying to get
it
out of here.
If
you're
going to
do it when no one's there.
Do it on a Monday.
But bro, imagine somebody does that on the, like, think about that, the big dog shootout. And it's just like, just two dudes get up and just blow. I mean, you can't really hit them out of bounds on the last hole at Candy, but they somehow hit it into like the on the left or something.
Yeah, or the road. They pull it
or
into
the road, so far. And I can't do that. I've tried so many times. But yeah, dude. That's
just crazy about him though. Like, he's playing so well. He shot a 60 the day or two days before.
He's so good.
He's so good. He's just,
you could tell. Yeah.
It was wild to see. That's all.
Yeah. He lost the driver on the back nine a little bit. And then he found it coming home, hit some really
which
good
is crazy
clutch.
Though. He lost his driver and shot a 31 on the back.
Exactly. I know.
Think that's, about that shit. That's scary. That, thank God he can't be in the Ryder Cup.
Right.
You know, that's great. So a couple guys, though, we'll move on in a second, but a couple guys moved up a ton. Tom Hoagie, Alex Noren, and Eric Van Rooyen. They moved, like, I think Tom Hoagie moved like 63 spots or something to get into this.
I think it was 110 to the one something and to get into the 40s, I think.
70. top 70.
Oh, was it 70?
Yeah.
Yep. No, I'm saying, didn't he go from like 10 something to like
Into
like the 40s?
Into the 40s. So if like basically if him, Noren and Van Ruin have another good week, they could get into the Tour Championship, which is crazy. Right. Which is something I want to get into just a little bit is these FedEx Cup points.
Wait, like, real quick, you got to mention Keith Mitchell. That was crazy. That dude was on the outside looking in on the 70 bubble, then goes and birdies 16, 17, and 18 in a row. Knew it too. That was what was so cool. Like, he knew that putt on 18, like, got him in.
That birdie on 17 probably did.
It was dirty.
That pin on 18 was guarded by that bunker and just completely
awesome. That was a hole, tough,
awesome finishing hole. Just a tough birdie hole for on Sunday for sure.
And that dude makes freaking three in a row. That's so nasty.
So sick. I mean, there's a lot of guys that made some moves. It was just crazy. Before we move on to the FedEx Cup points, shout out to my boy Spieth.
Oh, dude, yeah. I obviously didn't see anything, but I saw some egregious stat that he was like one of the first dudes to make, was it back-to-back eagles or two eagles? And then tournament, he made two triples.
It's back-to-back. He's the first player in PGA Tour history in the same tournament to make back-to-back eagles and back-to-back triples.
So good and bad golf's right around the corner.
Unbelievable. I mean, he didn't play much good golf except for on Friday. He had that, I think he was 9 under or something like that. Curious to see what was going on. I think his driver was just not there, but just to go out there and just shoot an 8 over like a man, just was not into it. He's like, I'm into next week. Who gives a shit? Like, it's a Monday finish and I'm just going to, you know, I probably was out drinking Monday night. Yo,
synergy too. You both shot eight over the last two Sunday rounds. Oh no, his wasn't on a Sunday.
But yours was 18 holes and not 6 holes. That's great though.
That's
a great stat.
You guys are on a wavelength.
Yeah. So my personal opinion on these FedEx Cup points, I just don't understand why. So they were triple the points last year and now they're quadruple the points. That this tournament was literally worth four times as much as a normal tournament. Second place gets two times as much as a major winner. They get 1200 points. Like, I just don't understand. Like, I get it. I get the fact that they're trying to elevate these playoffs and make it worth something and make it what it is, and I understand that, but why do you have to make it this big? Like, because if you're gonna make it a year-long thing, don't let one guy come in here and win two tournaments and be done and win two limited field events and win $15 million. It just doesn't seem right to me, and I know you have a different view than I do, so I'd love to hear what you think.
I just think that I understand why they do it is because they have to do it in a sense, because you can't overvalue regular season tournaments and then have a playoff where, like, for like to your example, like the majors, you can't have majors worth the same amount as a playoff win, because then what if somebody goes out and wins two majors in that season, or wins a major and wins another tournament and gets such a lead that they don't even have to compete? They're protecting against not needing to compete in the playoffs. So you have to have everything geared up towards the playoffs so that the playoffs mean more.
I understand that, but why is it so much is my question.
Because it has to be. It has to be quadruple.
It can't be like 1,000.
Yes, because it has to protect against a runaway player. That's what it's doing. It's protecting against a Tiger Woods runaway player. Where he could win six or seven times in a year. They don't come into an instance where, you know, DJ comes out of Augusta last year and we think he's about to go on this otherworldly tear, and now he shouldn't even be on the Ryder Cup team. But
here's the thing.
It's like,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I want like
no.
Who's winning six or seven times? Like, and even if you do, say you win six times, so you have a major and five other tournaments. So that's 2,500 points. So 3,100 points, right? Then somebody comes in and finishes first and second and literally could not, like, I just don't get it. I don't get it. You could be 120.
Because it keeps, it brings more of the pool into play. You know, we're looking at the 70 bubble. It's like, oh wow, that was crazy.
Yo,
that literally was just crazy. The whole Zoom just turned off. My Zoom straight turned off. This is still recording.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
We are just keeping that in.
I just went through an alien experience.
Yeah.
Dude, my computer just went black.
Wow. I was just like, oh no, what happened?
Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, we're gonna keep rolling with that for sure.
Yeah, the point I was making was just like you know. I know you don't want the Billy Horschel event, like the Billy Horschel to happen, but
yeah.
I think that's just the idea, is that like, it's gotta make, you gotta make these tournaments. I don't know. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I think I kind of get it, but it's weird. Like, right. Tony's had a good, where's Tony now? Now that
he's
won
first
He's won, right? Yeah. So that's,
he's in like, first place by a marginal amount. I think it's like not 1,000, it's like 800 points or 700 points. Which is crazy because he wasn't even I don't even think he was in the top 10. He might have just been barely sniffing the top 10.
But think about what that does too. That also puts like.
But what I'm saying is, it's valuing a second place tournament in the Northern Trust, which really, in the grand scheme of things, is just another golf tournament.
But that's the whole idea. What you just said right there. That's the point.
Okay.
That's the point, is that the idea is to make the Northern Trust not just the Northern Trust, not just another golf tournament.
But it's a tournament that's not even going to be there next year, is what I'm saying.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm saying the playoffs in general. Like, they're trying. That's what the PGA Tour does. Look what they did with the Players, right? Like, they tried to make that the fifth major. They're trying to make this their, and maybe it's a little forced. Maybe it doesn't.
It just seems like too much, because for somebody to get as much points as a second place, as who came in second place?
Cam did, right? Yeah.
So Cam Smith won double the amount of points as Hideki Matsuyama, John Rahm, all the major winners, for coming in second place at this tournament, which just I don't know. It just blows my mind. And like I've said before, Horschel ruined this for me. Like, he literally ruined this for me. And it's not, I don't know if I'll ever agree with it. Like, cause
playoffs.
As a golf nut, like, I am into these tournaments and I get it. And like, 1,000 points would be great for me. Like, that's a lot. Like, that would prove, like, okay, well, I've gotten into this point of the top 125, like, okay, and now I'm going for 1,000 points. So now the guy at the end could really make a push, but he has to play well in all three tournaments, instead of just, he could win this tournament at 125, get into the tour championship, and just bank an extra freaking $500,000 for coming in 30th. You know what I'm saying? It just seems too much for me.
But would you rather right now, going into the last, what, two tournaments left, would you rather 20 people have a chance at winning this thing or 50? What makes that, does that change the entertainment value? Maybe it doesn't.
As an entertainment value, I'd rather have 50, because that would just be wild. Like, oh wow, like, anybody could win this in 50. But as a competitor,
you win two tournaments in a row. True. Yeah, but you know it's the playoffs. You know it's the playoffs. You know it's a different game. The playoffs are a different beast in every sport.
I know, but golf is so, there's so many variables that, like, you have to, like, say a guy who got hot, like, freaking Patton Kizzire won two in the beginning of the year.
Erroneous.
Why is that erroneous? It's a year long event.
What happens when the Golden State Warriors won 73 regular season games? It didn't win them a championship.
It's true. That's a very good point.
That
might be the point that just got me.
It's, you know what I'm saying? Like, well, that's just in the sense of playoffs. It's like,
I mean, think about it, even in baseball, you play all the game, you play 162 right. games, and then you get a wild card game to get into the playoffs.
Right. The value, right. Whether you can put a numerical, like the value of that game is just more. In golf, right. they just have to somehow, they have to find an arbitrary way of putting a point system on it, which is hard. That's why they've changed it so much. And I'm not saying that I agree with it. Yeah. I don't even really understand it, to be honest.
it's very hard to understand. I mean, you just pretty much just triple or quadruple the points and,
right,
and just
right.
whoever wins these next two tournaments wins $15 million basically right. is what I get.
But the majors should, like, if you think about golf, that's, and then, so to counter my point, right, with it's the playoffs is like, but that's not golf. Like you have four majors. But, that's not the way that they're.
I know. But, and that, cause that's what I'm saying. Is if you ask any of the top right. golfers in the world, would they rather win the FedEx Cup or would they rather win a major? And 97% of people are going to say, I would rather win a major than win the $15 million. And that's it. That's it. Maybe yeah. besides Kevin Kisner, because he's know that he loves money.
yeah. We found out that Cam Smith does not love money. Somebody asked, did you see his response to like the $15 million purse?
No.
He was like, I don't even know what I would like, dude. He's like, I don't need that. He's like, I'm set. I don't even like, he's like, I wouldn't even know what I would buy with that money. Maybe some more fishing gear. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like half these guys, most of these guys on tour are freaking well off anyway. The most of the guys that are going to win the FedEx Cup. I mean, I don't know. It's just crazy.
Yo, what's crazy to me that you did not bring up though is, do you know who was the first man out? Do you know who was on the bubble?
My boy, Phil, right?
No, dude. Wolf.
Oh, Wolf. The first person out. Yeah, Wolf. Yeah, he's just been.
Is Phil
70.
Was Phil 70?
Oh, yeah, I didn't Phil was 70. That. Yeah, he was the bubble boy for a while.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, but kind of Wolf. Wolf for me this year, he's kind of just been out of the loop. I know he's going through some shit, so he. You know
what he did win this year?
He won that. Cumulative aggregate
the Aon risk reward challenge.
He won $1 million, so
dude, he won $1 million off that,
which I have no idea. I just have no idea what that is, and so do I even want to know? Like,
yeah, do you want to know?
I mean,
it's actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, I do, but do I understand it? No, I don't.
So yeah, so Brooks won it, and I think it was it started in 2019. Brooks won it in 2019. Nick Taylor won it in 2020,
which is hilarious.
I know, right? What it essentially does is they look at all of the hardest holes, like at every course and throughout the entire regular season, and they like rank them, and then you get points specifically on how you play what they consider some of the hardest holes on the course. And that's why it's the risk reward challenge. So it's, how do you play some of like the hardest scoring holes? And it's a season long competition. Wolf's numbers in this thing though.
He's Wolf's an aggressive son of a bitch.
Wolf's strategy. I'll read verbatim. Wolf's strategy translated into elite scoring ability, enabling him to birdie over 50% and eagle almost 9% of all Aon risk reward challenge holes this season.
Wow.
That scoring advantage was especially significant on par fours, where he was able to gain over like 0.37 strokes per hole on the field.
Jesus.
Insane.
That's crazy.
He had some, which is just ridiculous, but just shows like his talent level and also how he was going through some shit. But,
good for him.
Yeah. So the third Aon risk reward challenge winner.
It's the first I've heard about it this year.
I was going to say, ask me if I didn't look up Google, what is the Aon risk reward challenge right before this?
Yeah. When I heard that.
Cause I did.
So funny. Crazy. All right. Let's go on. The next thing I have, I could touch on the women's open real quick. Just want to shout out to Anna Norquist for winning that. It was pretty wild finish. I got to watch the final little bit, and I forget the young woman's name who was coming up with Anna, but
Madeline Sagstrom, was it?
No, not her. It was the one that shanked that one out of the bunker. With these link style bunkers. She had a downhill lie, and her and Anna were oh, here it is. Here it is. I'll never pronounce this right. Madsen. That's all. Her last name was Madsen. 26 from Denmark. She was at minus 12. She ended up double bogeying the 18th hole. She was tied with Norquist. And an 18 at Carnoustie was playing. I mean, it was one of the hardest holes of the tournament. I honestly thought there was three other people at minus 11. And I thought there was going to be a five-way playoff. I just was hoping that there was going to be a five-way playoff. I thought they were both going to go up there and bogey. But Madsen went up there, hit her second shot in the greenside bunker, had a downhill lie. And I was hoping for, you know, if there wasn't going to be a five-way playoff, at least a two-way playoff, because I was just ready to watch golf. And she just cold hard shanked one into the fescue up to the like right of the green. It was incredible. Ends up double bogeying, and Anna Nordqvist won the major. So she played great, and really that's all I saw. I watched a little bit on Thursday, but just had to give her a shout out. You didn't see any of that, did you?
No.
But yeah, that's that was their last major, so we're not going to be, you know, the Solheim Cup is coming up. Actually,
there's not another major for like over 200 days, I think I saw.
Crazy. They have five majors, which is wild. And yeah, we're not going to see another one of their majors for 200 and something days, which is crazy. But Solheim Cup, they just picked all their girls, I believe. Sagstrom won. She tied for second. I said she won, but she made the team, which is cool.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
by the way, Finau got the call too from Stricker right after.
He did.
While he was taking a picture, which was a pretty cool moment.
Yeah, it was really cool.
And then Bryson, Brooks, and JT clinched today. So they are their locks too. Yeah, the team's starting to
Form. Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit. Before we get into the Ryder Cup, because I did want to talk a little bit of the Ryder Cup. What do you think of this Bryson character going to the long drive competition after the Ryder Cup?
So weird. It's literally the day after the Ryder Cup.
Literally the day.
Ridiculous.
After. Yeah.
Which means he's definitely going to be, I mean, he's got to change his, he has to swing differently, right? Like even like Berkshire was saying, like, he's got to take a month out when he goes to compete in these tournaments. He's got to take like a month out from the regular golf thing to, because I think it's just, I don't know if he's going to be using the same drivers. Like,
I guess the question is like, how seriously is he going to take it?
Oh, it's a show. It's
like, it's just, yeah, I'm sure somebody's paying him to be there, and they're going to give him a big driver, and he's going to swing, and you know, whether he competes or not is really irrelevant. He's been on a spiral. He's just not talking to the media anymore. He's kind of just,
he's posting lifting YouTube videos of bench press and squats and
super weird. He kind of like, it was just a switch on social, really.
You could tell he's struggling. I think he's trying to find himself a little bit, but he's reaching. He's trying with a long diet. He just keeps reaching.
That's for sure. I hate to keep bringing him up because like talking about him is just taxing.
I know.
But he's still making headlines, which is wild. And I just really hope that it doesn't have an effect on his Ryder Cup.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how serious he takes it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. So what do you think about, I mean, obviously Tony Finau is now in, that got leaked on Twitter. Patrick Reed though, double pneumonia and he was hospitalized. So
something's fishy about that.
Yeah. You think so?
That's just, it's weird. It's like, nobody, I think TMZ broke it. Like it was it's just very weird.
Really?
And it's just,
I didn't see much on it. I just heard about it and I looked it up.
He had a bilateral pneumonia. Like he had some sort of I forget what it was, but like a very like, just, I don't know. The whole thing just seemed a little weird. He's had some stuff going on too. He had the ankle and then now he's had this and he's slipping been a traveling. Little bit. Yeah.
I mean, he got the call to be Captain America in the Olympics and he just, he went and now
maybe that's what it is too.
He's paying the price, man. A lot of traveling and a lot of excitement, I guess. And maybe he got COVID over there. Who knows?
Yeah, so six.
But that definitely plays a part in the team, because I mean, right now, who qualified? We got five guys that qualified: Colin Morikawa, DJ, DeChambeau, Koepka, and Thomas.
Six,
we know Tony's in. So that leaves. So we got 12 guys on the team. The next
Xander, Spieth, Harris English, Patrick Reed, mm-hmm. Cantlay, Berger.
And then
Webb Simpson.
Yeah, well, that's 13. But
bubble.
But yeah, without Patrick Reed there, I mean, I can't see him being a captain's pick after this. Like, you're talking about it's a month away.
Is he playing? Not even a month away. Is he still in the?
He's out for the BMW.
He's out.
He's out for next week. So, I mean, he's probably not going to make the Tour Championship. I would imagine he's not going to get enough points. And then you have 2 weeks after that is the Ryder Cup, I believe. So really, it's tough. I mean, do you go with a guy like Kisner who just won, who's hot?
I keep Reed.
Really?
I would keep him.
Why?
I think I would keep him.
this is a take.
Well, I just don't think, like, you just talked about, I mean, I think it depends on the situation specifically, but if like he's healthy within the next week and he's playing golf for 3 weeks, I don't think that just because the timing of this, like, I think like he's still 10, right? And he's still,
he was a lock on my team.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Like,
but does, I mean, he doesn't, he's not the healthiest guy on tour, and he who knows how much he's going to bounce back. Fair. And he's that's not, fair. You know,
that's the thing. I think, yeah, it depends obviously on the situation. I don't know the medicals of P. Reed, but, so yeah, I guess as a medical question mark, putting him off, I see that being more evident now.
Right. So I think
locks
obviously are Schauffele, Spieth.
Yeah.
How do you feel about English?
I don't know. I'm in between.
I'm a take it or leave it kind of guy. He doesn't have the fire. I heard a podcast with him, and he loves team golf. He loved playing at Georgia. And he said that he's learned the most that he ever has this year, and he's at a different level of his career.
I mean, I love all that,
which is great to hear.
I love
it. I also there's just no emotion. I would love, I kind of want to see him in the Ryder Cup just to like see what he brings to the table. Like,
yeah, just kind of see his personality.
Yeah, exactly, because he's so, like, you know, all the guys work on like the mental side and like their demeanor of how they carry themselves on the course and shit. And it's like, I don't know, the Ryder Cup, you kind of let your hair down and you're a competitor, and you can show the emotion and you can feel the energy from the crowd and stuff. So he's probably a lock. I would guess that Harris English is going to be on the Ryder Cup.
You sold me on him, by the way. That for that reason specifically,
yeah,
is 100% why I want him to be on this listening team, because I want to see him in that, like, exactly what you just said. I want to see him in this situation.
Yeah, listening
of those
him.
Guys, like, of those guys that I'm looking at, and obviously, you know, you're right, I think he's pretty much a lock, but of those guys, of the 10 through 14 or 15 or so, like, he's the one that I think that would show, I don't know, I feel like we would learn the most from, like, him,
yeah,
of what we know about the rest of the guys, you know?
Exactly. Because, like, you know what you're getting with Cantlay. You know what you're getting.
You know, yeah.
Webb Simpson.
Webb.
See, here's
Scotty.
The thing, though. I am not sold on D. Bergs. I'm just not sold on him, man. I know he's won a couple times, and I know he's a very good golfer. I just am not sold on him. I don't like Webb Simpson as a pick. Haven't in the past couple of years. Scotty Scheffler's on my bubble. Horschel, I can't believe, is even in the top 15. He's one of the worst players to watch. Kokrak, take him or leave him. Sam Burns, kind of same thing. He's a young gun. I could see him getting some knowledge from playing there, but, like, I don't know, man. It's a tough look for Strix, man. Like,
yeah,
there's just so many. Like, why can't Will Zalatoris be on the Ryder Cup? Like, he would be electric. You know what
now
I'm
you're
saying?
Talking. Now, why now can't, you're talking.
Yeah. I mean, there's just a bunch of guys up there that like have shown that they know how to play that could be on it, but I don't know. Like, you got to think all these guys are freaking the best players in the world.
Right.
I don't know how they, score this, but Tiger Woods is 54th in the Ryder Cup standings. So like, can you go by the Ryder Cup standings? Like,
could he get like, a captain's pick? Has he been working right now?
Could he get a, that would be electric. Like there's just, I don't know. There's just a lot of guys up there is what I'm saying. And it's going to be really tough for him to say, like, how do you not pick Kevin Kisner? Like, I understand Whistling Straits doesn't, you know, match up for his style of play, but he's a great match play guy. Like, and he's playing out of his ass. Like, I'd rather have him than Webb Simpson or Daniel Berger. So it's going to be tough. They're making official picks after the BMW. So it's going to be exciting to see.
Right. I'm
super, super excited to see who the Europeans pick and who we pick. So we'll see, man.
I know it's coming quick.
It's coming real quick. So final thoughts, dude. You got anything?
Yeah. Did you, have you been following the, you obviously have seen the J.R. Smith.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you said something about that.
Yeah. He's officially part of the North Carolina A&T golf team, which is, oh my God.
That's ridiculous.
J.R. Smith is one of the most entertaining basketball players I've ever watched in my life. Like, yeah. No joke. People who like know who J.R. Smith is, like, I mean, he is that dude. Oh, thinking of him on a college, there's videos of him, bro, walking around on a college campus right now. Like he's like legit taking classes. Like he is enrolled NCAA eligible on
that
the roster.
So
sheet.
Crazy.
Like, he made $92 million playing basketball.
And now he's just slumming on a golf team in college.
And now he's a freshman in college and is going to play in legit NCAA tournaments.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
It's
but
amazing.
Very, very cool. What a world.
Talk about grow the game.
What a world.
Oh, that's so awesome. It's so awesome. I love J.R. Smith, though. Yeah. That dude is a freaking riot.
That's a good.
I will never forget him forgetting. Oh, that dude in the finals under the hoop, just complete mold brain, spaced out, dude forgot where he was in one of the biggest moments in NBA history.
Mold brain.
LeBron will never look at him the same.
Oh, that's great. That's a great. I'm not even going to rebuttal that with a final thought. I think we're just going to leave him on the 19th here.
That's it. Bang.
We'll see you on Friday, man.
Bye.